Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith, you ready to yell about a two-point conversion?
I am ready. I'm so ready. I was born ready for this.
I know you are.
I've been fired up about this for a long time.
I heard you last night.
Yeah,
you were fired up about this last night at the Bruins game.
Brag. We were at the Bruins game. That's right.
Yeah. Humble brag.
By the way, I think it was Kevin in the Twitch chat DM'd me, and he was like, I thought I saw you guys, but you're a lot taller in person than I thought. So he's like, I didn't go up to you. I didn't think it was you.
Kevin,
I was like, yeah, that's us.
Right there?
You and me, stilts. You see a couple of tall dudes walking down the garden. That's us.
You tweeted out a picture of the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
There at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
Pretty good. But that was
my neck wouldn't quit. It was just
a long neck.
I thought I had a little Davis Mills thing going. I have a Merton Hanks thing going on in that picture.
Not bad.
And so anyway, at the Bruins game though, you're all fired up.
I was fired up.
Kevin, you probably heard him a couple sections over yelling about this at the Bruins.
Two-point unbelievable final play by Drake May. Great final drive to get all the way down there. It looked like they were dead. The offense had been terrible since the one drive to start the second half. There wasn't a lot going on. That crazy play by Drake May. And even as they're going down, you're like, this game for the most part has been a bit of a mess.
It wasn't a great watch.
No, two of the worst teams in the NFL proving it right in front of our eyes. And you're saying, if they score here, why go to overtime? Why take your chances in overtime? Go for two. And I'm not of the belief, hey, go for two every single time in that situation. But look at all the particulars. You're a horrible team. They're a horrible team. You're on the road. You needed a Houdini play to get a touchdown at the very end. So you really want to go to overtime, take your chances. Maybe you get the ball to start. Maybe you don't. You either got to play defense or you got to have a long drive. Because the other part of this, shout out once again to Marcus Jones. Best punt return guy in the league, sets you up short field.
Guy's a legitimate weapon.
Yes.
Don't punt it to him.
Why teams punt it to him is insane. So they should have they should have gone for two. 2 yards. 2 yards, and you win the game. And they're like, oh, well, that would have taken some of the momentum out of the touchdown. No, it didn't. You ended up losing the game anyway. This was the call. They should have gone for two, put the ball in Drake May's hands, give him an option to either run, pass, whatever. Let Drake May make a great play. Because, yeah, he made a great play in a loss. You could have capped it off back-to-back great plays, gotten a win, would have been a fourth-quarter comeback drive for Drake May, all that stuff. I don't know why. You seem to be really scared if you don't think you can get 2 points against Tennessee. That I think is worse than saying, hey, really, we're going to go to overtime and see what happens there.
So I agree. It's the play becomes a footnote instead of like a moment that will live on for Drake May. Yeah. You didn't win the game.
Nope. Lost.
If you cap off that touchdown with a 2-point conversion and you walk it off in Nashville, granted against a bad Titans team.
Well, whatever, you're bad, they're bad, fine.
We feel so differently about that, and now you've won two games in a row and it feels like you're building towards something. Instead, again, it's a phenomenal play, but it comes in a loss. It's a footnote on the game. So you guys can talk about this all day long. 617-779-7937. I know a lot of you agree with Rich Keefe. The Greg Hill Show did a poll this morning. 70% of you and counting think you should have gone for two at the end of the game, which I do agree with, and I'll explain my thoughts on it coming up. Gerard Mayo, by the way, should be feeling the pressure. Another head coach just got fired.
Dennis Allen.
My guy, Dennis Allen.
We just missed.
You're done.
Robert Saleh was the first coach fired. Yeah. Nick, we were right around it with Dennis Allen. So another
hot start too, weren't they 2-0?
They started 2-0 and they were scoring
points.
A million
they scored
points.
On 15 straight points. Drives to open the season. I don't think they scored since.
Yeah, today's a big day because you had the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator.
Yep, Luke Getsy.
Luke Getsy.
Who the Patriots interviewed.
Oh, you got a sniff.
That
here.
Was one of their picks.
Yeah, sure did. He's one of their guys.
One of the guys who said no.
He's like,
one of the guys who's like, I couldn't possibly
take the
go
Raider
there.
Job.
I'm gonna go to the Raiders and get fired.
So he's out. Dennis Allen's out.
Yeah.
And so it should be hot seat city.
And the only reason I bring the Dennis Allen thing up is because we were talking about odds to fire Gerard Mayo on Friday last week. Doug Peterson had the heaviest odds. Mayo was second.
Alone. And then Allen was third.
Now a guy further down, third on the depth chart.
Pretty wild.
In terms of coaching firings or the odds on it from BetAG, is now out. So add that to the list. Meanwhile, Gerard Mayo was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. He was asked about his decision to not go for two at the end of the game because he
in quotes, decision.
Well, true. He acknowledged Keefe after the game. It was a very legitimate question.
Great
to
question.
Ask about going for two.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't wish to talk about that right now. And so
what?
Here's what he said today on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show.
What was the thought process in not going for two, and how was that executed? Is it you're saying on the splitter, we're going for the extra point? Is there a conversation while the drive's unfolding? Should you score, we have a two-point play ready to go. How did that all unfold?
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play.
Wednesday.
And again, you know, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, you know, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point. And
these are different.
Good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. Okay, so it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, you know, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision. That's what I decided to do.
Okay, so
these are very different. Not all two-point conversions are the same.
What do you think he was talking about? Because I heard that driving in.
So they went for two a couple weeks ago.
Jacksonville is what he's talking about, right?
Okay. And so you and I didn't like it for a different reason, because we're more of the sort of, in that situation, you're down two scores, sort of extend the game, you kick the extra point. Then at 8:22, I believe, left in the fourth quarter, you're now down eight. So if you get a stop, you get the ball back, still one possession. You go for two, miss it, you're down nine. We all talked about last week. Now, there is sort of an analytical thing that sort of backs that and blah, blah, blah. And there's two sides, whatever. But you didn't get it. We weren't necessarily criticizing the fact that you didn't get it, more so the decision. Just like now, I'm criticizing the decision. Now, I even went on record.
He's not wrong, though. Like, he will get criticism either way if it's wrong. Like, duh. Like, if the play doesn't work, then you're going to get criticism. But
it's part of the job. But
right,
I also
but making
think,
the analogy to the Jacksonville game, those are not right, because I didn't want them to go for two there. I wanted them to go for two yesterday.
Completely different. This is literally for the win.
Right.
This is for the win with no time left.
The other one, you would have extended the game by not going for it.
Yeah, no, the other one, it made more sense in my mind, and it would have been more of a momentum thing to kick the extra point. Now you reward that drive. You're like, hey, that drive, now we're one score down. Mm-hmm. Instead, you go for two, get stuffed, and now you're like, we still need two possessions. These are apples to orange. The only thing the same about it is it's a two-point play. So if it gets stuffed, would he have gotten criticism? Sure. Not everybody agrees with it. So I'm sure there are some people out there that are like, take the point and win it in overtime.
Yeah, and we might have
How much confidence do you have they're going to win it in overtime? This isn't Tom Brady where you're like, get him the ball, he's going to march down the field and win.
No. And we might have criticized the play call. Like, I don't have to like the play call, but I think we would have applauded the decision to go for two.
100%. I can't speak for everybody, but I would have said great decision. Then from there, if they get stuffed, we say, hey, it's Alex Van Pelt, why did you just run the ball into the guard?
Or if it's another whip route to Jalen Polk and he can't stay on his feet down by the goal line.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have an issue with the play call, but
the decision
to go for it, I like to think we would applaud. By the way, just so it's worth mentioning, the analytics on the play do back their decision yesterday. Win probability by kicking the PAT, which Joey Sly almost missed, 48.2%.
Yeah, he did.
Win probability on the two-point attempt, 46%. So you have better odds of winning the game. I guess in a vacuum, you have better odds. It's analytically backed. Whose decision do you think it was to go for two? Because Mayo said, we have these conversations. It's well thought out. It was well before the 12-second play.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose decision do you think was it to go for two yesterday?
To not go for two.
I'm sorry, to not go for two. That decision.
Yeah,
whose decision
yeah.
was it?
I think Mayo's. Now,
I don't.
Who do you think it was then?
I think it's the guy in his ear. If it's Evan Rothstein, if it's Ben McAdoo, I think it's Evan Rothstein.
So, like, the stat guy?
Yes.
Being like, hey, stats say.
I bet those numbers that Reese just gave you, right, this scenario, it's a 48% chance we win if we kick. So, kick.
But if you're right, and doesn't Mayo have the opportunity to say, no, we're
to overrule
for two?
It,
like,
yes.
Hey, I appreciate your numbers,
yes.
But you're not the head coach.
Yes.
But he doesn't feel strongly enough to argue.
Yes.
In that case, fine.
I think he has the autonomy to do it, but I think the voice in his head, the voice in the headset, rather, is telling him, here are the analytics, and
he doesn't have a strong enough argument.
He just goes, the numbers are the numbers, so let's go with it. These are the numbers, so let's go with it.
Keefspiracy.
Yeah.
This is going to – so I don't think Mayo did a good job yesterday with that. But Keefspiracy, maybe he just has such little faith in Alex Van Pelt to draw up a play for 2 yards.
I like it.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't think he can do it. I'll take my chances. And maybe we get a big return, or – maybe for some reason he still has faith in his defense or something like that. He's like, we'll win it that way. But no, I just think it would have meant more to the team to be like, hey, we're going all. You see this every once in a while in college. You'll see like college teams do this.
Okay.
There are some pro teams that do it too. That are like, hey, we're going for two. Like, we're going to win it right now. We're on the road. We're a bad team. Worst thing that happens, we lose another game. We've lost every game just about this year anyway. But what a sign to your team, I think, to say, hey, we're going for it. Hey, Alex Van Pelt, even. Like, not your best
We've
day?
We've got Drake
You
May.
Call this one play
we
right now?
We believe in you. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think there's a tangible
kick the
thing
point.
There, too.
Oh, lame.
Okay, and I just think when you're this bad, you go for the win because...
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because what's the difference?
What's the harm?
Try to get the win. And if you lose, oh well, you lost anyway. And we know that now.
But you went down swinging. This is literally the difference between like taking the third strike or swinging at it.
Right. But I just think if you're the Patriots of old, you're going to be a 10-win team and a playoff team, you kick the extra point, you go to overtime. Yeah. That's not what you are. You're a dog crap team. So you try to get the win right then and there. And if you don't get it, there probably will be blowback. Yeah. I would applaud the decision of going for it in that scenario. I hated the decision in Jacksonville. I don't think they are comparable.
They're not.
But he's using that as cover. And I'll be honest, I don't think it was Jerod Mayo's call yesterday. That's not to let him off the hook.
Do you believe him that he was 12 plays ahead?
No, definitely
not. They knew for sure if they went down, they're going to kick the point.
I heard Chris Curtis this morning, and I think he's right. I don't think they had a good idea what they were doing that whole drive. It was not that different than the Jets the week before, where the Jets are getting a delay a game on the two-point conversion. You should have known the whole time you're going for two.
No, it was embarrassing for them.
How do you get a delay a game? This was like that. I don't know how committed they looked to going for two, or kicking rather, and not going for two at the end of the game.
I feel like you have to be pretty confident in one side of the ball to just tie it and go to overtime, meaning you're like, hey, we have a great defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to lock them down, and hell, they might even score. Or like you have the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes effect where you're like, as soon as we get the ball, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it in the hands of the toss, then the way the whole thing plays out, they just milk clock for the longest time.
7.5 minutes or whatever.
They just took like most of the time, like 80% of the overtime. And to your credit, you did force a field goal, so you had like a chance. But I mean, at that point, the game is pretty much over. So you're leaving it in the hands. Because I know Drake May after the game was talking about how like, you know, our defense was fresh. And I'm not going to pile on Drake May. I think he's just trying to be whatever the team does is the right thing kind of guy.
Yeah,
and
good soldier.
But the defense is fresh. Well, what if you guys get the ball? But the defense is still on the sideline. Like, so rather than 2 yards, you now take a tired offense and you got to go 70 yards.
Uh-huh.
Like, please, 2 yards. Yeah. If you don't think you can get 2 yards, I think it says a lot more about your team than anything else.
And so I'm with you, Keith. I'm with the majority voting in that Greg Hill Show poll. 70% think they should have gone for two to win that game at the end of regulation. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. I'm curious to hear from the 30% that disagree with both of us and the majority of you out there.
I wonder if those are just AVP haters. And they're just like, it's not going to draw anything up.
It could be. Yeah. So I'd like to hear your logic on that. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Text at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Keefe and I, looking very handsome at the Bruins game last night, at Jones and Keefe. Watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Healthy, lively chat going on Twitch. And you can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. What did you think of Drake May yesterday, Keefe? I mean, the final play was, final play of regulation, rather, was unbelievable. 12 seconds scrambling around, backyard play, skies it up to Ramondre Stevenson. Underrated part of that play is he makes a great catch on that play. But Drake May makes an unbelievable play to force overtime. He also was 95, 96% of their offense in terms of yardage yesterday. What'd you tell me, 301 out of 315?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So 96% of their offense. He's running for almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
He's doing everything offensively. But he's also making mistakes, including a mistake that lost it in overtime. The final pick, which was a brutal play. I thought the fumble was really bad. I thought his first interception was really bad. So it was a mixed bag yesterday out of Drake May. What did you think of his performance on balance?
I actually thought he was very good. I think overall, I think he was very good. I think part of it is he, and yesterday was a great example of, has nothing to work with. His play caller is bad. His receivers are bad. His offensive line is average at the very best, but probably also bad. His Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is good, but because of the play calling and the line, he runs for 16 yards on 10 carries. The guy's got nothing going with him. So, yeah, he ends up turning the ball over three times. The last one, they didn't have a ton of time anyway. I also think Kayshon Booty quit on the play.
Yeah,
I think he looked really bad. Now, not that that's a touchdown, but maybe it's not a pick. Maybe Booty plays defense and you just live to play one more down. So, but still, the fumble one, I would have liked to see him get away. Like, he's going to throw picks. He needs to take chances. He doesn't have great receivers. They're not always going to be wide open. So he's going to throw some picks. The fumble is the one that I would like him to have back the most and sort of see what would have happened if he was able to hold on to the ball there. But I thought he was very good. I think he was running a lot and he took some big hits. But I think he also is looking around being like, what else are we going to do? How are we going to move the ball if it's not me doing it? So I thought overall, understanding that there were turnovers there, I thought he was very good.
Okay. Real quick, since you mentioned it, what did you think of the running around yesterday? That surprised you at all? Because he ran a lot. I did not want them to limit him and limit his legs at all. He ran a lot more than I expected.
There was at least two times where I think he even thought of sliding and then like hesitated and then didn't and then got kind of popped a little bit, which I'm fine with him running. You and I were talking about this last week, even with a concussion. Like, unfortunately, that won't be the last concussion he gets in his career. It's just the nature of the game. But slide, maybe get out of bounds if you can. He was trying to pick up every yard possible. So this is, it's funny because a lot of the commentary from Mayo and Van Pelt a week ago is like, oh, he's got to protect himself, got to protect himself, which weirdly enough, he did protect himself in the game he got hurt.
Sure.
And then this game, he's a little bit more reckless. Also, I don't know if his helmet fits. Didn't his helmet pop, like his chin strap
chin
up by his nose
all over
the time?
Place.
Like,
that's true.
I mean, that doesn't look right. For a guy coming off a concussion, you might want to make sure the equipment fits. But no, he was aggressive running, which I don't mind. I just would have maybe on two of them like slid right before he got hit.
Look, I like him running. And to me, yesterday is proof of the people, oh, can't have him run. He's going
to
get
no,
hurt.
No, you need him to run.
He was awesome running the ball yesterday. He has pretty good instincts, I think, on it. The fumble aside, I think he has pretty good instincts on when to go and when not to. I think largely he's scanning down the field. He's not flushed out of the pocket and looking panic and dropping his eyes. I think largely he keeps his eyes up. He's looking to throw first, and then he takes the yards that are there. I love that about his game. I was shocked he ran as much as he did. I was shocked he ran with such reckless abandon as he did early in the game, fresh off a concussion. But I like that about him. So that I had no problem with. On balance, I didn't love his day yesterday.
No.
The final play was spectacular. I mean, the final play of
regulation
was spectacular. I'm sorry, the final play of regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the turnovers were bad. He barely cracked 200 yards, Keith, on 41 attempts.
Look who he's got.
I understand look who he's got.
And
but
look who's calling the plays.
I get that. But look who's calling the plays for Jacoby Brissett. Look who Jacoby Brissett has. And Jacoby Brissett won last week.
Jacoby Brissett's throwing for like 120
I get
yards.
It. And Jacoby Brissett beat the Bengals. And so at a certain point, I do have to say, why isn't Drake winning these games? I know he gets credit for the Jets win. But I took issue with this comment in a Mark Daniels story at Mass Live, and it's from Michael Jordan.
Nice.
The other Michael
Jordan.
The offensive lineman.
I thought you were talking about MJ.
Who says, Drake's an effing winner. And it's like, well, no, a winner wins the game. Like,
let's not go crazy.
Not
here.
To be a douche about it, but a winner wins the game. I mean, that's not the adjective I would use for Drake May right now in his career.
You could say gamer.
Yeah.
You could say baller.
Something.
Gamer.
Yeah. Winner to me is not, that's not the word I would use to describe him right now. This used to piss me off with Marcus Smart. Oh, he makes winning plays. It's like the guy's never won squat.
I don't know about that.
So that just starts to bother me. And it's just at a certain point, I need Drake May, as phenomenal as that play was.
Yeah, yeah.
I need him to start winning some games and not making the literal play that lost them the game in overtime.
I get it.
By the way, he was outplayed by Mason Rudolph on the other side, which I have an issue with because that guy's a journeyman's journeyman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was outplayed. I mean, he lost the game to him, but if you add Drake May's like rushing yards to the game, like I think he was the better quarterback on the field. It was probably closer than it should have been. I think my big takeaway, though, over these 3 weeks is that I was really hopeful that Drake May was good. Like, and you can say anybody coming out of college, like, oh, I like this prospect. I think he's going to be good. And then they play, and you're like, well, maybe next week, maybe next week. Even with some of the turnovers and some of the mistakes, he's good. Like, he is not the problem. Like, I sort of jokingly on Twitter yesterday was like, next year's to-do list for the Patriots. Like, the only thing checked off was quarterback and punter, but that was before he sucked. No. Everyone's coming at me now.
You may want to take that back.
I do take it back now. But that was before the game, or that was early in the game, so that was the only other thing. But no, it feels like you have the one guy, and yeah, he needs to clean up mistakes. The guy's started three games. He's one of the youngest players in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Look, no, I love Drake May.
Yeah.
I wanted him number one in the draft. He was the quarterback I wanted for the Patriots. So this is, and I'm not dumping on him as a player, but let's just be real about what yesterday was. He threw a million passes. He barely cracked 200 yards. He had brutal turnovers in the game, and they lost. So let's just be real about it. That's all I'm saying. He made a spectacular game, play to force overtime, which was great. And there are definite flashes, and I'm happy with the overall trajectory. I'm happy with the pick. He's not a bust. He doesn't suck. Just yesterday, I didn't love his game. I felt like he was a contributor in a bad way to the loss. And so you guys can jump in on that. How do you feel about Drake May, his performance yesterday? 617-779-7937. Also, did you want the Patriots to go for two at the end of regulation? I know a lot of you did.
Yes,
we can
I
hear
did.
From you. I know Keith did.
Yes, I did.
I'm also very curious to hear from the people who did not want to go for two. I'd like to hear your logic on that. So we'll get into it. We'll also get into the Patriots. Are they putting too much on Drake May's plate? Certainly seems that way. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lane.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.